Our next case for argument this morning is in the matter of McKinney. Mr. Olswang.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Daniel Olswang, and I represent the appellant, Salta Group. In October of 2002, Salta attended the tax sale held in Peoria County and purchased the delinquent real estate taxes owed by the debtor, Lonnie McKinney, to the Peoria County Treasurer on his property located at 1231 and 1233 Northeast Peoria Avenue. In April 2005, Salta, pursuant to the Illinois Property Tax Code, codified at 35 ILCS 200 et sequens, served upon Mr. McKinney a statutory take notice, advising him that the absolute last day to redeem his taxes, his sole taxes, was September 1st, 2005. On August 31st, the day before the last day to redeem, Mr. McKinney filed a Chapter 13 bankruptcy. An appropriate objection was filed as in his bankruptcy he filed an amended plan which sought to repay Salta over the term of 60 months. We then filed an objection on behalf of Salta alleging mainly two issues. The first issue that we allege was that Salta was not a creditor of the debtor's estate and that the property was no longer an asset of the debtor's estate. And the basis of both arguments are premised upon the debtor's failure to redeem the real estate taxes by the extended redemption period of the state statutory period as provided under Section 108B of the Bankruptcy Code. The extended date was November 1, 2005, based upon the 60 days added on by 108B of the Bankruptcy Code. Salta has taken the position from the beginning of this matter that Section 108B of the Bankruptcy Code applies in this situation, as a redemption period for real estate taxes is set forth in the Illinois Property Tax Code. In May 2006, the Bankruptcy Court entered an order denying Salta's objection and issued an opinion holding that the debtor could in fact redeem the delinquent real estate taxes in installments over the term of his amended plan, which was 60 months. The District Court affirmed the Bankruptcy Court's holding, and that brings us here today. I suppose District Court Judge McDade, in his order on January...
Why is this order appealable? I take it the Bankruptcy Court has yet to confirm the plan.
Yes, Your Honor.
This is just one issue in an ongoing case, so why is it appealable?
Well, it's our position that it's appealable, Judge, because it's a final. It made a determination that Salta is now a creditor of the bankrupt estate. We had taken the position all along that we are not a creditor. So the finding that objecting to...
That's certainly a decision the judge has made. Why is that a final order? On the way to final decision in any case, the judge will resolve a lot of issues, which then get wrapped up in the final decision. But one can't appeal from the disposition of an issue. So my question remains, why is this a final order?
Well, I think it's because it's an order that fixes our status in the bankruptcy case. It fixes our status as a creditor. And I think that the order which fixes a creditor status is a final appealable order, which was the UAL Corp case, 411 F3rd 818. And I think that our status is now affixed by this ruling that the objection was denied and that now we are now a creditor. We've taken the position all along that we're not a creditor, that 108B applied, they did not redeem the taxes appropriately, and therefore we're not a creditor of this estate. And now we've been affixed, and it's a final order in that we are affixed as a party to this.
But if the plan that ultimately is confirmed requires a payout to Salta in a relatively short period of time, not the full 5 years, then wouldn't you sort of get the relief you wanted, pretty much get the relief you wanted?
But that's not what this plan provided for. This plan provided...
We don't know until the plan is confirmed.
Well, but the plan of record sought to pay Salta over 60 months. It was a 60-month plan.
Well, that's what the debtor proposed. But after the bankruptcy court makes this decision, you can go to the bankruptcy court and say, before you confirm this plan, make sure we're paid rapidly. There are all sorts of things that could be urged as reasons not to confirm the plan. And until the bankruptcy judge rules on them, it seems to me we've still got balls up in the air.
Well, the problem being is that the 60-day limit has run. So in any confirmation of any plan, we've now extended a state redemption period has been extended by this bankruptcy filing.
But look, you know, I mean, I find the idea of final appealable orders in bankruptcy cases pretty fuzzy. But generally, a bankruptcy order of this type is not final. And, you know, you would be expected to wait for the plan to be confirmed before appealing. If not, we just seem to go down such a slippery slope.
Well, but again, I think the problem with waiting for the plan to be confirmed is that no matter what's confirmed in the plan, we have allowed this debtor to extend a state set statutory redemption period beyond the 60 days provided in 108B. And that affects whether they cured us in a year or whether they cured us in 5 years, the statute, the Illinois Property Tax Code, does not allow for payment.
That's like saying that all interlocutory decisions of a district court that have real effects are immediately appealable. The Supreme Court, you may know or not know, just this morning held 9-0 that an order requiring an attorney to disclose documents that the attorney says are covered by the attorney-client privilege is not immediately appealable. The attorney was screaming, the cat will be out of the bag, and all of that. And the Supreme Court said, tough luck, it's still not the final decision. And one wonders whether that's not equally true here. You may have suffered a reverse, but reverses on the way to final decisions aren't final decisions.
Well, but I also think we look to, there's the Comdisco case that's out there at 538 F3rd 647, which says, finality of order is a loose standard in bankruptcy.
It may be loose, but it doesn't mean it's non-existent. The question, we have tried to phrase this as whether the dispute would be the final decision of a standalone piece of litigation. Right? Bankruptcy comprises many independent disputes. So we generally ask the question, would this be the final outcome of a standalone piece of litigation? And usually the answer in an adversary proceeding is yes, but this doesn't appear to be an adversary proceeding. It appears to be a contested matter rather than an adversary proceeding. Am I understanding it correctly?
Well, it's contested in the sense that...
Look, contested matter is a precise term of art in bankruptcy law. Is this a contested matter or not?
Well, it's a contested matter in that.
Right, and it's not an adversary proceeding, right?
It's not filed as an adversary proceeding. You are correct.
Maybe I misunderstand our law, but we've generally thought that adversary proceedings, disposition of adversary proceedings is appealable. The disposition of contested matters is not. Now, maybe that's too rough a cut, but isn't that roughly what our court has been saying?
Well, I think we, the loose standard...
Is that or is that not what our court has been saying? Maybe I understand our precedents incorrectly.
No, I'm not...
I just wish you'd answer the questions I ask.
Yes, Your Honor, that's what the court's been saying.
Wasn't there also an order by the bankruptcy judge canceling the tax deed issued by state court?
Yes, there was.
And that order was not appealed.
It was not, no, Your Honor.
Why is that any different than the order that you're now claiming you can appeal?
Well, because I think that the bankruptcy judge's order voiding the tax deed would fall by virtue of a reversal of his denying our objection to confirmation. If in fact the denial was reversed and our confirmation was sustained, the bankruptcy judge has no jurisdiction over the tax deed because Salta would not be a creditor of the bankrupt estate.
But the title remains in the owner of the real property until the county clerk issues the tax deed, and it has been recorded, doesn't it?
Yes, but if we're found to not be a creditor of the state, then it's mere perfunctory to go in and record a tax deed at that point.
But you can't say if.
Well,
there's so many ifs that we could have.
Well, but the argument being that the bankruptcy judge would not have jurisdiction over the tax deed. And Section 362 of the Bankruptcy Court.
I'm completely lost now. Why does the Bankruptcy Court lack jurisdiction? Bankruptcy judge has subject matter jurisdiction over all issues in or related to a bankrupt. Now, this is an issue in the bankruptcy. The fact that the district bankruptcy judge may have decided wrongly doesn't have anything to do with jurisdiction.
No, but what I'm trying to argue, Judge, is that we have a situation where we objected to confirmation, and the basis of our objection is the property was not property of the estate.
Right.
Had that objection been sustained, it would us going in to seek leave of court under 362, us relief from the stay, would have been that is cause that a property is not an asset of the estate. That is cause for entry of an order allowing us to leave the estate.
The bankruptcy judge has authority, which is to say subject matter jurisdiction, to decide whether something is property of the estate and whether a particular creditor is a creditor of the estate or not.
I'm not disagreeing, but sustaining our objection.
So you agree that there's nothing here remotely concerning the bankruptcy court's jurisdiction?
Well, no, but what I'm saying is that had our objection been sustained and not denied,
you would have won rather than lost, but it doesn't have anything to do with jurisdiction.
The property wouldn't have been property of the estate, is the point, and that the bankruptcy judge wouldn't have jurisdiction over that property.
No, I don't think you understand the rules for jurisdiction. It's been clear since Bell against Hood that the merits and jurisdiction are very different. Jurisdiction means adjudicatory competence. The bankruptcy judge had adjudicatory competence in this case.
I don't think the bankruptcy...
You don't want to pursue this argument. You have some dead-bang losers, and pursuing them is just not sensible.
Judge, but I don't know that... you know, whether, and maybe we went off track by dealing with the order of the judge's order of vacating the tax deed. I mean, the fact still remains is that, you know, we had an objection to confirmation. It was denied. It now affixed us as a creditor of this estate and as part of this estate. And whether the plan's been confirmed or not, I still hold that it's final in the sense that we are now part of this debtor's estate, where as opposed to had it been sustained, our objection, we would not be a creditor of the estate. And that 108B applied, and that 108B said he had 60 days from that extended redemption period, as the statutory redemption period ended on September 1st, and that 60 days ran until November 1st of 2005, and that no redemption was made at that point. And because of this, this takes us out, and there's a whole line of cases that support the position we've taken, that supports the fact that a tax sale, if it's not redeemed within the 60 days set forth in 108B, that tax buyer is not a creditor of the estate and entitled to the relief of a tax deed, and that the property, the debtor, loses his interest in the real estate once there's no redemption made by the debtor. I realize I've cut into my rebuttal. Well, I have a little rebuttal time left.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Judge.
Mr. Yen.
Good morning, Your Honors. Good morning, Judge Rovner. On the jurisdictional issue, we do contend that there is no jurisdiction because it was not a final order. This is something that actually could be fixed even at this late date if the appellant would go to the district court, ask the question to be certified under Section 1292B, if the district court granted that, and if this court then accepted the certification. So
why has I gather the plan of reorganization has yet, or the plan of payment has yet to be confirmed. Why is that?
The two reasons. First, the appellant in the bankruptcy court asked for a stay of the confirmation proceedings, which the bankruptcy court granted. And then
you mean Salta Group asked the bankruptcy judge not to enter the final order from which it could have appealed?
That is correct, Your Honor. And then the bankruptcy court has felt that it doesn't have jurisdiction to confirm the plan because it's under appeal and that the court may have been divested of jurisdiction by virtue of the appeal.
That's completely wrong, too.
Well, that's what the bankruptcy judge did say, and we thought it was wrong, but there we are. Going to the merits, if the court is able to reach the merits, we think the court should affirm because it would further three important policies, two bankruptcy policies and one policy of the Illinois State of Illinois is embodied in the Illinois Property Tax Code. The first bankruptcy policy that would be furthered is the policy of the financial rehabilitation of a debtor, especially enabling a debtor to save his home. This is a policy that Congress, in enacting Chapter 13 and then further in amending it in 1994 to add Section 1322C1, and showed that it was very concerned that debtors be able to, Chapter 13 debtors, be able to save their home, and that's why Chapter 13 is set up as a flexible repayment policy, and also that the in overruling matter of Roach, when they enacted 1320C1, Congress wanted to extend the time in which a debtor could wait until and file bankruptcy to be able to save his home. The Illinois Property Tax Code policy that would be furthered is that redemptions are favored in Illinois. The tax process, the tax collection process in Illinois does provide at the end for the possibility of the very harsh remedy as far as the owner is concerned, that the owner loses everything for not paying his taxes. But it is not the policy of Illinois to encourage the loss of the property. The idea is that's a means. The purpose is to coerce the debtor into paying the taxes. And this usually works. Sometimes debtors are not able to pay. And in that situation, allowing a debtor such as Mr. McKinney, who had suffered some reverses, has started to get back on his financial feet, to allow him to then repay the taxes, that furthers the Illinois policy of allowing liberal redemptions. The Illinois courts have...
Look, the 1322C1 may allow this delay, but saying it furthers the state policy just seems to me entirely wrong. First, 1322C says, notwithstanding state law. In other words, it overrides state law. But second, the Illinois policy is what it is. It says the right to redeem expires on a given date. And one doesn't want to say, if the date gives the owner 2 years to pay, that it furthers state policy to give the owner 7 years. It defeats state policy. Now, your argument has to be that 1322C is designed to defeat state policy. That's what it says. But I don't think you get anywhere by saying it furthers state policy to defeat it. That's just double talk.
Well,
it's your third argument.
The third argument is that by preventing a transaction where one creditor, in this case the tax purchaser, receives the entire value of the property, which that thereby removes that property as a possible source of satisfying other creditors' claims. If we avoid that, then we further the policy that we provide equal or at least similar treatment to all creditors. And in this case, whether there's only a couple of unsecured creditors, we can imagine in many cases there will be creditors who have substantial unsecured claims who could be satisfied from the equity that the owner has in the property if the tax purchaser is able to get the whole property. Then the likelihood is that the unsecured creditors would not get paid anything at all. Going to, I think the main case that the SALT has relied on would be Matter of Tynan, which is a case of this court. We think that it is distinguishable because in Tynan there had been a foreclosure sale. There was a sale to a third party prior to the Tynan's filing their bankruptcy. They filed while there was a right of redemption under the former Illinois foreclosure law. The difference there is that that was a redemption after sale, after transfer of title. In our situation, we have a right of redemption that had not expired, and there had not been a transfer of title. The debtor was both the legal and equitable owner of his property when he filed his bankruptcy. As such, Salta was had a lien on his property. As defined by the bankruptcy code, they were a creditor. We have Johnson versus Home State Bank, a Supreme Court case that says that. As a secured creditor, the Chapter 13 says the secured creditor's rights can be modified by the Chapter 13 plan. There's one exception that does not apply here, which is that the rights of the holder of a security interest on the debtor's home cannot be modified. And in bankruptcy parlance, the security interest is a lien that arises by virtue of an agreement. There was no agreement here. There was a statute that Mr. McKinney did not comply with because he didn't pay his taxes. So we have a statutory lien. Statutory liens could be modified. That is another difference between Tynan and our situation. If there are no other questions on the merits, then I'll rely on our briefs for the rest of it. Thank you.
Certainly, Mr. Yen. Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Allswing?
I would like to discuss a few of the merits that we've raised throughout our briefs and what were addressed by Mr. Yen as well. We do rely on the Tynan case. Quite a few courts in this jurisdiction and throughout the state have relied on the Tynan case as well for the proposition that 108 does 108 is set 108B is set forth to extend the redemption period for 60 days from the commencement of the bankruptcy proceeding. We've taken the position that that's what happened here. Mr. McKinney was given the 60-day extension and did not comply. We did not redeem the taxes. The tax code is the tax code. There's not much we can say about that. The redemption date set forth in the tax code is pretty strict. It allows for a certain period, whether it's 2 years or 2 years and 6 months, and the only extension that is allowed under the Illinois property tax code is by the tax buyer. If he chooses to give the property owner an additional 6 months, that's the only time an extension is allowed. There's no extensions built into the property tax code. It's a strict date in which redemption needs to be made by. Further, it requires a lump sum payment. It doesn't allow for...
How do you then understand 1322C, which begins by saying, notwithstanding non-bankruptcy law, the following is true, and then C1 says... The B procedure for extended
right.
payment can apply to any procedure that has led to a lien on a personal residence until the foreclosure judgment has been entered. Now, there's a tax lien. No foreclosure judgment has been entered. Why doesn't 1322C1 read directly on this situation?
I think that the case law that has addressed the issue...
I didn't ask you about case law.
No,
I asked you about the language of the statute.
Because I don't think that there's an actual tax lien. The county had a tax lien when the taxes were due. They then received payment from the tax buyer, and that lien is now extinguished. The county no longer has a lien. My client doesn't have a lien on the property. My client holds a certificate of sale is what they hold. So I think that the lien on the property from the county is extinguished by virtue of the payment.
There's nothing in C1 that talks about a lien by a county. It just says lien.
Well, but it also talks about a foreclosure judgment. That wouldn't be appropriate and applicable.
Until there's been a foreclosure judgment. We agree there's been no foreclosure judgment preceding the bankruptcy.
Right, but I think that
if your client holds a lien, doesn't a simple, straightforward reading of 1322C1 allow the plan to extend the time for payment?
I think that deals with mortgage liens, and that's why it talks about a foreclosure judgment, Your Honor. It doesn't talk about
Say mortgage liens?
But it talks about a foreclosure judgment, Your Honor. And the only time we can get a foreclosure judgment is in a foreclosure of a mortgage, which is a different relationship entirely between a debtor and a creditor than the tax sale, where there is no debt.
You think we just need to interpolate a word into the language of the United States Code? We need to add the word mortgage in front of the word lien?
I just, Your Honor, it's my argument that a foreclosure judgment does not apply. in the situation of it. There is no judgment that's ever taken in the situation where there's a tax buyer. It's a strict redemption. If no redemption, they can seek a deed. I couldn't understand how that would be applicable. There'd be a foreclosure judgment. That would be 100% applicable in the mortgage world and where there's a.
Thank you very much, counsel.
Sure. Thank you, Your Honors.
The case is taken under advisement.